First of all, I apologize for those who already heard the talk. Indeed, this is a broken piece of something larger in which representation of loop algebras are involved, but on what I will speak today, it will not appear very clearly. I'm sorry, and even the connection is not so clear, but I strongly believe there is some connection. So, first of all, so I will explain a theorem which will arrive around here, but before that I will recall a few facts to introduce this statement. And let me start with X be a Riemann manifold, Riemann surface, sorry. And this means, it means a compact and genus G manifold say differential manifold plus a complex structure. And with a complex structure. And in what follow, the genus itself can be any G, but just to avoid void statements, let's assume that G is 2 or bigger. Otherwise, most of the things I will say are completely trivial. Now, let pi be the fundamental group of X, and that rho from pi to GLNC be a representation. This means group morphism. And let denote by E of rho is the associated holomorphic vector bundle of rank n. Over X. Up to now this is just a notation, but I will explain how to define this vector bundle. So to define this vector bundle, let us start with the universal cover of X . Now you have an obvious map from X tilde to X, and therefore you have an obvious map from X tilde cross Cn to X. So it's the same, simply you forgot the second factor. But now the fundamental group pi is acting here. It is acting on X tilde cross Cn. It is acting on X tilde because it is a universal cover, and it is acting on Cn because there is this representation rho. So now let's denote by X tilde cross over P Cn be the orbit space in the quotient, and because the action here is trivial, this map factor like this. Okay. Oh, sorry, from this map you get a map like this. And denote by E of rho this, and you check easily that this is a vector bundle of rank n over x tilde. And because everything is done in the holomorphic category, you see this is a holomorphic vector bundle. Over x, yes. And now I arrive to the first question, which is the following. Let E be an holomorphic vector bundle say VB for vector bundle of rank over X. And the question is, when does E is isomorphic to E of O for some rho? Okay, that's of course a question. What can you say about that? And there is a kind of answer and it is a disappointing answer, and the answer is that if and only if the answer is yes. By yes, I mean there exists some. If and only if E admits an holomorphic connection. By this, and the answer is disappointing in the sense that it raised a new question, is of course, when does E admit an holomorphic connection? This answer is what is called usually the Riemann-Hilbert correspondence. Okay, so that's a kind of abstract thing. But at least here we are dealing with a vector bundle. So it's a trivial case of what is called the Riemann-Hilbert correspondence. It's really not a deep example. And now there is a partial answer to this question too. So maybe this answer is not completely disappointing, is that at least you notice that if there is such connection delta, then this delta is automatically integrable. Because why it is so? It's because here we are working with an holomorphic connection. So view as a complex space, Riemann surface is a curve. It has dimension one. So the curvature of the connection should be zero, because curvature is a skew symmetric tensor of degree two. So here we are on a curve, so there is no such thing. So the delta is integrable, and its curvature of delta is zero. And therefore, the first chain class of E, you know, to get the first chain class of E, what you should do is you take any connection, for this one, you take the curvature, the trace, and you make something up out of that. But since the curvature is zero, the third chain class is zero. Okay, because the and so you get already a necessary condition. So the answer is, if the answer is, if there is such a delta, the first chain class is zero. And indeed, there is a theorem due to André Weil, which is quite old. I think it dates back from the 40s. It says the following. Let decompose E into a direct sum of indecomposable bundle. So decomposition into indecomposable holomorphic bundle. This is very easy to do because the endomorphism ring of E as an holomorphic bundle is a finite dimensional algebra. So this is what is called, you know, so the decomposition into indecomposable is unique up to isomorphism. This is a classical result about finite dimensional algebras, and I forgot the name of this theorem, but maybe someone can. How it's called? Okay, Jordan or? Sorry? Kohl-Schmidt, yes, I think it's Kohl-Schmidt. So it's basically Kohl-Schmidt theorem, so it's really. Okay, so let's decompose E alpha into direct sum of indecomposable bundle, then E admits connection, holomorphic connection, if and only if the first chain class of E alpha is zero for any alpha. You see, indeed, in this direction, if it admits an holomorphic connection, then C1 of E alpha is zero, is quite obvious because whenever you have a connection on E, it's easy to build out of that a connection on each E alpha. And therefore, in this direction, it's really a trivial condition, and the converse is true. That's a simple but quite amusing result of Weil. And now you can look, so you have a full answer for the first question, but now we arrive to a new question, is that let E and let be a holomorphic vector bundle and assume that there is an holomorphic connection. And now the space of all holomorphic connection on E is an affine space, and exactly it's delta zero plus a vector space, and this vector space is of dimension g minus 1 n square plus E, where E is not very important. E is simply the dimension of the endomorphism of E. So it's a finite dimensional thing. But you see that the dimension of this vector space is big. N is the rank. And G is a genus. So see, it's a finite dimensional, but quite big, affine space. So connection, holomorphic connection is not unique. Is far to be unique. And therefore, you immediately arrive to the following question. Next question is, among all these connections, can we single out 1, c'est one special connection. A connection which is nicer, the nicest connections. Okay. So that's a natural question. And it turns out that in many, many cases, in most cases, that still there is a positive answer. And so now we will explain the theorem, which is also a classical theorem due to Narasimhan and Seshadri. As I remember, it dates back from the 60s, say around 62, but maybe a little bit later. But anyhow, it's a classical theorem. And the theorem says the following. Assume that E is a stable holomorphic bundle, holomorphic vector bundle over X. Then E admits a unique holomorphic, a unique Hermitian holomorphic connection. So let me, so here, okay, I have still to define some words in this theorem. I have to define what stable means, and I need to define what Hermitian means to explain the theorem. But you see, under some natural hypothesis, then there is a unique connection. So what means stable? First. So H2. So let me remember that the first chain class of anything belongs to H2. Okay, it's an element in second commercial. But here, X is a holomorphic curve or surface with a with a complex structure. Therefore, X is oriented. X is automatically oriented because it has a complex structure. And therefore, the second cohomology group is now isomorphic with Z in a canonical way. Therefore, it makes sense to speak, to say something like C1 of a vector bundle is strictly positive or negative. Okay, because just identify H2 with Z, so, and you have notion of positivity of chain class. So by definition, E, you say that E is stable if and only if the first chain class of E is zero, but the chain class of any subbundle is negative. Maybe you should say F different from E and zero. Okay, so that's the definition. Usually this is, if people are expert, if people know stability, sometimes it's called stable of slope zero, but say, forgot this detail here, we'll just say stable. And now what means that the connection is Hermitian? And definition, delta is Hermitian if there exist an Hermitian metric on E, which is compatible with a connection called horizontal, which is constant by parallel transport. So this condition, this Hermitian metric, is there is something we should notice, that the connection is holomorphic. So to define the connection itself, you don't have to. You can stay in the holomorphic world. But the Hermitian metric, even locally, is defined with coefficients. When you trivialize locally the bundle, when you write down locally the coefficient of the metric, they are smooth functions. They are not, of course, you exit from the holomorphic world. So you see, this condition to admit an Hermitian metric is a kind of smooth condition which involves, say, C infinity function. So now you arrive really to analysis, to real analysis. So it's a real analysis condition on an object which is a complex analysis object. And equivalent to the fact that if rho, that the monorami representation, you know, we have seen that there is a correspondence between representations and connection, and representation is called the monorami representation. Rho attached to delta is unitarizable. Okay, rho is a map from pi to G, L, and C, and by unitarizable means that the image is contained in a compact subgroup of G, L, and C. There is a small difference of terminology between, say, representation theory and algebraic or complex geometry. Here we speak about unitarizability, unitarizable representation, not unitary representation. Okay, but here people in complex geometry speak about Hermitian metric, Hermitian connection, where they should speak about Hermitianable metric. That's simply a difference of different words. So. But anyhow, to build this monodromy representation, to check that it is in a compact group, you see you have to exit from the complex world. In some sense, you have to do real analysis to make it. So it's an interesting thing because it's a mixture of different. Now, I'm looking at this theorem of Narasimhan and Seshadri, and I will make a new formulation of this theorem, which is a trivial reformulation, which is really obvious. But thanks to this new reformulation, we can raise a new question. So Now I make new hypothesis. Totally new hypothesis. And now on, just forgot everything before, but now on, X will be a projective curve. Projective, smooth, sorry, but maybe I will forget often the same word, projective curve over K, and K here is a number field. Next, so here now we are in the algebraic geometry setting. We have a notion, we have as well notions of vector bundle, algebraic vector bundle, and there is a notion of stability for algebraic vector bundle. And the notion of stability is based on the notion of degree. So if E is vector bundle, the algebraic vector bundle, I can define, we define its degree, degree of E. And it is defined as follows. It is defined as follows. First, if E has rank, if the rank of E is 1, means if E is a line bundle, then choose, let S be a section over some rational section, over some open set. A non-zero section, and we define the degree of E as a number of zeros of S minus the number of poles of S. And this quantity is strictly independent on the choice of your section, because if you multiply by your rational function, you know, rational function have as many zeros as they have poles. Here, zero and poles are counted with multiplicities, as usual. And so this is the degree of E. And in general, so if the rank of E is N, then the degree of E is simply the degree of the top exterior power of E, which is a line bundle. Okay, now the degree is an integer. It's even more simple than a Chern class. So really, positive and negative degree make sense. And so we can define, so there is a notion of stability. It is the same as before, but use a degree instead of the first Chern class. And now I can restate. Oops. I will restate Narasimhan and Seshadri theorem as follows. The theorem, which is only a reformulation, nothing more, is as follows. Let sigma from K to C be field embedding. Okay, K was a number field, so you send it to complex number C. And then there is a unique algebraic connection delta sigma of the bundle E tensor C over XC, which is unitary. Okay, so let me explain why it is a simple reformulation of Nachman and Sheshadrick theorem. First of all, it is not completely true. It's almost true that if E is stable, as I define, it's almost true that this is stable. It is not completely, means when you take the analytic holomorphic vector bundle associated to that. It's not completely true. What is true is that it's a direct sum of stable bundle. But Nachman-Sheshadri does not change anything if you put direct sum of stable instead of stable. That's completely obvious. So, why the connection is algebraic? It's simply because of this well-known theorem of Serre. You know that over a projective manifold, all holomorphic bundles are indeed algebraic and in unique way, and all holomorphic connections are indeed algebraic as well. So this connection is algebraic because it has to be. There is no other choice. So that's all. So really it's a reformulation. But now, maybe before raising my next question, which is here, I want to say a few words about the proof of the Narashiman-Sheshadri theorem, about their proof. And the proof is based on the following. The proof is very disturbing in some sense. One expects that you have this vector bundle, and then you find, by a way or another way, the connection. But the proof is not working at all like this. The proof uses deformation theory. So first, they consider U of n is the space of all stable bundle of rank n. And it turns out that U of n is indeed an algebraic and irreducible algebraic variety. Well, exactly, that this space, the C points, of an irreducible and algebraic variety. This is the first step. The second step is that because it is an algebraic variety, that you take P, the points in UN. So the problem is to find, the problem is for unicity, for existence. Unicity I will discuss later on. For existence, I consider X, P, the points in UN for which the property is true. So they are vector bundle such that X admits Hermitian connection. And they prove by deformation theory that P is indeed open and closed in the metric topology, the usual topology, not the Zariski one, but the usual topology of this UN. The fact that it is closed is trivial, and open is based on deformation theory. But then you have a well-known, or something which should be a well-known theorem of algebraic geometry, which says that if you take the C points of an irreducible variety are connected in the metric topology. And therefore, because this is an open and closed property, it follows that this property is always true or always false. It means it will be true for all vector bundles or for no vector bundle at all. So then you have to exhibit at least one vector bundle which satisfy the property. And indeed, it is strictly enough to show that the functional group pi has at least one unitary representation, unitary and irreducible representation of dimension n, what is very easy. For example, you first build a representation in SU2, which is Zariski dense, and then by taking the symmetric power of that, you get n-dimensional representation. But this is easy. And you see, by this process is very, is not, in some sense, you don't, does not give a recipe to build your connection. You see, simply say that it is true for at least one point, and that's enough. The existence, I don't want to enter here, but it is based on the properties of harmonic functions. So that's uniqueness, sorry, yes. So this is a proof. Now that I reformulate this thing, I will like to raise my new question. And the new question is the following. Probably it was question 4. Maybe I will state it here as a question. So, you see, an embedding from K to C is what is called an infinite place, up to some details. But you can also embed K in the algebraic closure of periodic fields. They are called finite places. So the problem is, what about finite places embedding? So from sigma, say from K to CP. By CP I mean the algebraic closure of QP. Okay. Can we find a similar statement for finite places? And the answer is, in some sense, yes. And the theorem is the following. First of all, I will not state it in a full, with full precision. There is something a little bit, I will hide a small detail, but I can give it to you if you really want it. But let sigma from K to CP unramified be an unramified finite place, then there is at most one P emission connection delta sigma over the vector bundle of the vector bundle E tensor CP unramified over X of CP unramified. To explain the theorem, I need to explain what unramified means and p-emission means. So, what means, first of all, I use the terminology place slightly differently than in the books or in the literature. But basically the idea is the same. So what means CP unramified? Over CP, the valuation CP is a value field, the field with valuation. And the valuation is always normalized in a such way that the valuation of P itself is 1. But then, the valuation of element in CP can be any rational numbers. Maybe I should take non-zero element, because infinity is still not a rational number. So, now, what is CP unramified is the maximal, the biggest subfield such that the valuation of CP unramified is inside Z. So, it is the maximal subfield with this property. So you don't have the height. So in CP unramified, what you forgot is something like the square root of P. Square root of P is not in CP unramified. If you want to build it in a different way, if you start with the algebraic closure of FP, you have what is called the VIT vectors of this, which is and CP unramified is the fraction field of that. I'm not completely sure that this, in my theorem, the unramified is necessary, but really, I need that in the proof somehow. So that's next, P unitary is a condition which is defined purely locally. And I will just give the definition, how to say, not very precisely. But basically, instead of working with, say, projective variety, assuming that you are working locally. So let's say that you are working with a ring Z of T, the ring of integers. So in that case, or ZP, then in that case, so you have a E, which is a ZP QP of T. And E is a QP of T module. Free QP of T module of rank N. So a connection means you have you define the action of the operator D over DT over E. Axe. Over E. And now the connection will be called P unitary in some sense. This would mean something like this. It would mean that for any Z in E, the space of all D over DT of all divide power, so you raise D over DT to the N divided by N factorial, apply to V, lives inside a finitely generated Z of P module. Z of P of T module, sorry. Oh, if I want to do it locally, I want to take formal series. Okay, that's basically that's a way to define it. So locally you have many connections which satisfy this property. Okay, the trick here is that the unicity is based on a global on the fact that the connection should be globally defined over the whole curve, which is projective, plus a local condition on periodic valuation. So this makes the unicity of it. Now you can worry why you don't have existence in general. But existence is not so, we should not worry too much about this. Because you see, basically now you have to consider the space of stable bundle over X of CP and ramified. And now this space of stable bundle over X, P and ramified is the CP unramified points of the same irreducible algebraic variety. So in the Zariski topology, of course, this is connected because it is irreducible. But in the metric topology, it is not, because here we are working with a periodic field. So you know these manifolds are totally disconnected. So this one is no more connected. And we can expect that the property P to admit a connection will be open and closed, but it is not true, unfortunately. It is closed, it is always closed, and then can characterize, there is a characterization of points, of open points, say, points in the neighborhood of which the property is open. I can characterize it, and it's not. And in general, it's not everything. Even, for example, if you start with line bundle, basically the property means the following. You start with your line bundle and you reduce it mod p. And the condition for the line bundle to admit such a connection is that when you reduce mod p, you end in a finite, in a point of an abelian variety over a finite field, so in a finite group. So it's an element of a finite order. And the condition is that reduction mod p of the line bundle should have order which is prime to p. So for line bundle, I can completely characterize when the property is true and when it is not. For vector bundle, it's much more complicated. So you see, it cannot be true always, because already for line bundle, it is not true. So now, I would like to give the motivations why I have this. And my motivation is a conjecture. And my conjecture is the following. So let sigma be a finite, unramified finite place, or infinite place, and let assume the existence of or delta sigma, then my conjecture is the monodromy associated with sigma with delta sigma, is finite if and only if delta sigma is defined over the finite extension of a number field. So the finite extension of K, of a number field K. Okay, in the periodic case, I didn't explain what the monodromy is, but the expression the monodromy is finite can be easily described, but we can associate some monodromy. In the infinite case, it's the usual monodromy, and I have this conjecture. So I want to say that in one direction, it is obvious. If the monodromy is finite, then the connection is defined over a number field. This follows from the usual uniformization, Riemann uniformization theorem. You know, when you take a finite covering of a curve, algebraic curve, then it's still an algebraic curve, and it is again defined over a number field. By using this fact, you can easily, this amounts to this. The converse looks to be a difficult conjecture. I have some idea about why it should be true in the finite case for finite places, but I have no ideas in the infinite case. At the end, I would like to explain why this is connected with another conjecture due to Grothendieck, so there is a conjecture due to Grothendieck which is as follows. So you start with any manifold, algebraic manifold Z, and E delta B a vector bundle with an integrable connection. Here we are working in algebraically. Then Grothendieck conjecture says that the monodromy, corresponding monodromy, is finite. By finite, it means it has a finite image. If and only if, when you reduce mod P as zero P curvature, as no for P big enough, for all P except maybe infinitely many thing. Again, in Grothendieck conjecture, one direction is obvious. If the monodromy is finite, then reduction mod P of the monodromy have zero P curvature. The opposite case is difficult. And I want to compare this conjecture to this one. And first of all, there is a strong difference. In my conjecture, I just consider one place. It's a conjecture which involves only one condition at one place, but it is a characteristic zero condition. It's maybe over a periodic field, but it is a characteristic zero condition. And Grothendieck conditions are different. It involves all prime number P, maybe up to a finite number of them, but it is characteristic P conditions. So first of all, it is slightly different. What can be easily proved is that in general, Grothendieck conjecture can be reduced to vector bundle defined over a projective curve. So first of all, even if you start with an algebraic manifold which is affine, you can reduce to a curve, and then you can extend it to infinity, up to doing some transformation. So now you arrive to a vector bundle with a connection over a projective curve, and I strongly expect that this Grothendieck condition will imply that our connection is precisely the unique such connection. So that's my expectation, but it's there is still some broken pieces to get the full connection. And maybe if I can say one more word. Yes, I can say one more word, maybe. Also, I would like to understand the existence of this connection. Sorry. This theorem, the existence of this connection, I would like to use it to understand the geometry of the modular space of stable vector bundles. Indeed, this modular space of vector bundle is a symplectic manifold. Start with Zn, with Mn, say, which is stable bundles plus connection on X. And of course, you have a map from Mn to Un. You simply forgot the connection. We have seen before that this is an affine bundle, means all possible connection forms an affine space. And it turns out that Mn is a symplectic manifold. First, it's symplectic, and the associated vector bundle, because you have an affine bundle, so you have an associative vector bundle, is precisely the cotangent space of UN. That's very easy. So basically, and syntactic structure, in some sense, is connected with this. So now, when you build, when to any bundle E, you associate the Narasimhan-Seshadri connection delta of E, this can be seen as a map, you have, as a section. You see? And you can easily check that indeed what you get here is a Lagrangian section in this symplectic manifold. And therefore, when you have this map, it means that Mn is indeed isomorphic with the cotangent space of Un, because you have a zero section. So in the periodic case, the picture is slightly similar, except that it is not always defined, and so yeah, the section is not defined everywhere, so that's the problem. But okay, now this was the what we can try to do is when you have two different such sections, different places give you two different sections, the dream, but of course I don't know how to do that, the dream, the difference of two such sections will give, of course, a section into the cotangent space. It means the form. And because they are Lagrangian sections, it gives you closed forms. So basically, closed forms are something like functions. So by this way, my dream is to get truly functions on the space by this construction. But it is up to now, it's impossible. Okay, that's the end.